You know, as a podcast host and producer, I really try my best to keep you on your toes, kind of keep you wondering what could be next, and maybe even a bit surprised by what is next. I really try to be authentic and raw and honest and choose guests who I'm fascinated with, either by who they are or what they do. I know they have a lot of richness to their life and in their hearts, and I really ask questions that prod that to really dig it out of them, because I think it's so important. And sometimes when my guest cancels kind of last minute-ish, after being slightly bit disappointed, I usually go ahead and think, well, okay then. I guess it's my turn. Thank you. And welcome to A Fresh Air Inspired Life. Celebrating people who move with passion, purpose, and perseverance. Yeah, you heard that right. I changed the subtitle. But do you know what? My guests have always embodied these characteristics. Isn't that amazing? We're just switching the focus from where our guests are located to what's in their hearts. Oh my gosh, this makes me so happy. Welcome to episode 52. I'm your host, Amanda Wise, and it's great to be here. It's just me and my microphone today, but I'm excited. Usually, if you're getting just me, it's because my guest canceled too close to airtime to reschedule, write a new interview, and yada yada. And though I don't usually share why the guest cancels, today's reason gave me a great idea for the content of this episode, so it's worth a mention. If you read my blog, which I recommend you do for free at copperharborvitality.com, you'll know I had a sick boy for about a week. He's better now, thank goodness. But in those seemingly endless days that he was sick at home, I was supposed to record the next interview. Knowing that my wonderful guest-to-be had a heart procedure coming up, I warned her that I had a sick kid at home. She politely declined because of the procedure, and I'm so glad she spoke up for herself. I would never want to put someone at risk during a situation like that, because I know what that's like. When Brady was 3 months old, he also had a heart procedure scheduled, an open heart surgery to turn his 2 leaky chambers into 4 good ones, like we're supposed to have. His surgery got canceled, though, due to a mystery infection, which is a whole nother story. But try rescheduling that at a hospital 700 miles away. So then, when my mom and I got to Ann Arbor for the second scheduling, when he was 4 months old, it was canceled again due to another mystery infection. But we were already there. We were face to face with the doctor. If it would have been just me without my mother, who is a nurse, an alpha, and has slightly manipulative tendencies, it's okay. She knows. I would have bawled and drove my bluish-gray baby 700 miles home and rescheduled. But not Mary Wise. Oh no. She made them reschedule before we left the building. We spent a couple extra nights in our Ann Arbor motel room and took him to surgery on Monday. I mean, this is all laid out in my memoir, Digging for Light, if you want to know the whole story and other brutally honest parts of my life. And it's currently available on Amazon with In the Dirt. So throw it in your cart with the other things you don't really need. I'll even sign it. I've got two intriguing stories for you today. And while scooping snow, I realized how they intertwine. One of them is about snow, which it has been snowing and snowing and snowing here for days. Pro tip, don't move to Calumet without a plan for moving lots of snow. And the other is a really vulnerable time in my life that I have never publicized. This podcast shifted to celebrate people who move with passion, purpose, and perseverance. And I want to share a powerful part of my story. If the people who come on the show are publicly vulnerable, I want to step up and be that way too. It's only fair. Back when my son was a little tyke, someone broke into my house and I had to call 911. In court, as I testified how this person threw my furniture and put me in a headlock, I was addressed as the witness. The witness? Wasn't I the victim? I felt like one. But the simple act of being addressed as the witness proved to me something very important. Once a person is out of their dangerous situation, they are no longer a victim. They are a witness in court or a survivor in life. I tried to let this empower me so I could move on. But I started noticing when other people took on the victim mentality and I judged them. I would even tell them things like, "You're not a victim anymore. Shift your mindset. Hair flip. Oh my God." So here's the irony. While I was judging others, I was holding myself into a different victim pattern beyond the PTSD from the night of the intruder. So this is a tough thing to admit, but I felt shackled in my role as a single mother of a child with special needs. Each summer night, after I put him to sleep, I stared out my front door. My breath fogged the glass as I watched tourists and my own friends party on the town. My jealousy turned to resentment. I wanted that life back. I felt like I had no freedom, and I blamed it. Oh, I'm gonna tear up. I blamed it on the most magical little person I have ever met, because we were always together. He took every ounce of my being because he was so extra. And we were trying to do it in a little community at the end of the earth with no specialized resources or a hospital. But I didn't fully admit this to myself at the time. And the PTSD wasn't helping. So feeling nearly paralyzed each day as the sun went down, when my ears, eyes, and brain were always on high alert, and every unknown sound triggered my body into a near panic attack. Oof. In order to become a true survivor of that situation, I decided to see a therapist. I learned some valuable tools, thank goodness. But one day, she asked me a question regarding my role as a mother. Now, I don't remember exactly how it went, but I put these incidents together and I broke down in a moment of shame and guilt. I realized I had to practice again, that lesson I learned in court. I had to admit I was holding myself victim to my innocent son, and I absolutely had to let it go. Whew, another difficult neurological pathway to change in my brain, but I slowly shifted my mindset. I chose to see the blessings in our life. I chose to feel the divinity in his snuggles. He's like snuggling an angel. I chose to laugh at his slapstick humor. And I chose to see this challenge of motherhood that ultimately I chose as an opportunity to grow into a stronger version of myself. This, in turn, shifted his attitude towards me. Oh, it was so magical. Our bond grew deeper and our relationship got easier and so much more meaningful, as you can witness it today. Now let's relate this to snow. If you go on the Keweenaw County snowfall totals page, you'll see that we got over 225 inches of snow so far this year. Yep, my arms say that sounds about right. And I mentioned before that moving snow in a residential neighborhood is tight. People need to park their car, get to their front door, and that's about it. Sidewalks are moot. The rest of the yard is where you put snow. So you have to have a plan. People who plow have a plan. They push it all back as far as they can so the pile moves forward within an acceptable location. People who snowblow have a plan. They blow it in the same place each time, building a tower of snow. People who scoop have a plan. They figure out how to configure a ramp so they can push their scoop up a perpetually growing mound of snow. It's malleable engineering, and I have come to love it. I've talked on here about cutting back the snowbanks in the road before, and I think it's in the Snow and Humans episode, if you missed it. But on our little residential streets, we wait for the convoy to come and cut the banks back to widen out the road. The dump trucks haul it away, and everyone is happy. But this last time, there were no dump trucks. The giant wheeled snowblower blew all the snow into people's yards. I mean, I watched this and I was surprised how great of a job the driver did avoiding people's vehicles and other fragile things with that output. But the piles of dense snow on the road got sucked up and spit out wherever it seemed most appropriate. So me, being a rookie scooper, I thought I had a pretty great slide and dump process. But I was a bit disappointed to see that my ramp system was, at first glance, ruined after all this. The angle of the pile was too steep to push a 100-pound scoopful of snow. I know, because I tried it a few times and it was just unsustainable. So I could have sat down at the bottom of the ramp and cried into my scoop until it iced over. I could have cursed the giant snowblower for ruining everything I worked so hard for this winter. But that's not what a survivor does. I'm not gonna lie, I felt a little bit discouraged, but then I remembered snow is made up of individual flakes. I could dig and scrape to re-angle the ramp to get it to the pitch I need it to be and rework the top dumping zone. Yes, It took a lot of extra work and time. And yes, I was often post-holing past my knees into this giant mound of snow. But if I'm going to make it through the rest of the winter, I had to change it. I had to look at it as a puzzle to solve. Use my smarts and my strength and fix it. Now we're going to take this even further to relate these two stories. If these concepts are new to you, you might want to take notes. So whether or not I knew that person who broke into my house, that's irrelevant. It could have been anyone. But no matter who it was, we can safely assume one thing. That person was hurting. Any person who puts themselves into a situation where they choose to hurt someone else is burning up inside. Whether it's from anger, jealousy, past trauma, disconnection, any of that. That person and all people who hurt others are in pain themselves. They did what they did in that moment because that was what they had the capacity to do. Now, how about that snowblower with the dump truck? Was it hurting? Well, if you're keen on QAnon news, you know a fire broke out in the nearby Department of Public Works garage. They lost their garbage trucks, several plow trucks, 5 dump trucks, and on and on and on. I mean, pretty much everything was stored in there. Now, I'm not going to try and paraphrase the news. You can look it up. But I want to quickly give a shout out and say that, once again, the support from other resources and municipalities and businesses and community members in the Copper Country has been astounding. I'm so grateful to live in a place that bands together when times get tough. So those dump trucks that didn't catch the snow on bank cutting day, they were essentially destroyed. The snowblower that blew the snow into people's yards that day, probably loaned out from another municipality. And we are so grateful to have somebody out there still doing their best to keep us mobile. We need to be grateful, because if we're not going to physically help the situation, donate money or goods, we have to work with the situation. Otherwise, we're just part of the problem. Do you see how this all relates? I was hurting. The city was hurting. The person who broke into my house was hurting. Now, don't get me wrong, the city was doing its job and that person was committing a crime. Definitely two different things. But the point is that the more we can see beyond someone's actions to the source of their pain, whether we know where the pain comes from, we can just assume it's there. Everyone has their story. But the more we can see beyond their actions, the more we can empower ourselves to move on as who we are meant to be. We can't control what other people do. We can't control everything that happens to us. But we can control how we respond. After surviving a tragedy, we can rise and reclaim our purpose. We can still move forward with passion, purpose, and perseverance. We can. I'm not going to show you how to do that right now. There are books and programs galore out there if you're interested. I just want to show you that it's possible and it's absolutely amazing. So thank you for listening. If you feel it, please tip on our page at copperharborvitality.com. Or become a member on our Patreon to receive the behind the scenes of each of these episodes. I do this all from my heart, but my heart doesn't pay the bills. Thanks for your support. Really, thank you. Till next time, remember, you can take back your power and show the world what you're made of. The best way to do it is with kindness, connection, and community. And for goodness sakes, be good to yourself. Ba-ba-da-da-da-da. Ba-ba-da-ba-do-da-da. Ba-ba-da-da-da-da.